Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. We get accused in the church of not being any fun sometimes. And it's not that we don't laugh, and it's not that sometimes we don't have some fun, that we don't joke around. But overall, we are seen in the church as being serious. The faith is seen as being serious. More than one person has said, well, I don't go to church because going to church would ruin all my fun. Jesus just wants to get in the way of me having fun. That's been said before. And let's be honest, we are serious because we have serious business to be about. Spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, standing up for the oppressed and the outcast, providing a place where all are welcome in a very unwelcoming world. The things that we are about as Christians are serious things, and we tend to be very serious about those things. But I came across an interesting idea several years ago. Ed Friedman was a part-time rabbi, part-time counselor, and an author. And he made the observation in his work, both in the synagogue and with families and individuals that came to him for counseling, that you can be too serious, even about serious things. He saw how families and people and churches and synagogues actually struggled to solve their problems, to overcome their issues, in part because they were so serious about it that it became a burden, that their seriousness got them stuck. They were so concerned about what had to be done, about the problem facing, about fixing things, or about being a family, or about mending a relationship, or just about anything in life that was causing them stress, that they couldn't envision their own way forward. They couldn't envision a creative solution. He also noticed that no problem, in his estimation, was ever solved by being more serious about it, by being more earnest, by just trying harder to fix it. In fact, he came to recognize that the less serious a group or a family or a person could be about their problems, the more they could have fun with their problems, laugh about their problems, joke about their problems, the more likely they were to be able to find a solution, to find a way forward. Have you ever been under pressure to remember something? And you try, and the harder you try, what does it seem like? The further you are from remembering, right? And as soon as you stop being so serious about remembering, wham, the name pops into your head, that last item on your to-do list comes back to you, and you turn around and go back to the store to get what it was you forgot, right? There's something in our brain, something with the way God made us, when we're intense, when we're anxious, when we're trying too hard, it binds up the creative energies that God has given us, the ability to think our way to a solution, the ability to be playful, to be creative. Sometimes when we can be less serious about things, it opens up new possibilities, new creativity, new energy. What would happen if we were less serious? I've yet to be in a church where folks, at least some folks, didn't express to me that they were tired, that they were worried about the future, that they were burned out by having to do things throughout the years. Some churches have expressed to me when I've worked with them as a consultant or when I've been their pastor that they knew they had to do something, but they just couldn't figure out what they should be doing because they were trying so hard, they got stuck. And so I started to wonder, what would happen if we could be less serious about the faith? Now, one of the most famous pictures of Jesus, if you could put up the first picture, is by Warner Salmon. We all know this. Is this picture in this church somewhere? I don't think I've ever been in a church where that picture has not been somewhere on a wall in the sanctuary or in a prayer room or in a Sunday school room. Jesus looks very serious, very intent. What if we envision Jesus differently? What if we could read more laughter into Jesus? If we saw Jesus as being more fun-loving, let's go to the second picture. It's commonly called the laughing Jesus. Not just a smile, right? But I can imagine in this picture that Jesus just either heard or said something hilarious, and he is laughing. Have you ever laughed so hard you almost cried? A laugh that comes from the stomach, from the gut, and it just comes pouring out of you, and your head goes back, and you can't help but just give this guttural laugh. That's what I see Jesus in this picture. Sometimes I envision that if somebody walked in this morning and said, well, I looked at the bulletin this morning, and the first thing I see is Jesus laughing at me. And maybe Jesus was in this picture. Maybe he was laughing at just the ridiculousness of his disciples, at not getting it. Sometimes I think we see Jesus as so serious. When the disciples make a mistake, when the disciples don't get it, we see him as this scolding, condemning person. Why don't you get it, you of little faith? What if Jesus just laughed at him? Like, you idiots. It's a different way to envision Jesus, a different way to envision the Lord. And as we envision Jesus differently, it changes our relationship. It changes how we hear Jesus' words to us. I think we make Jesus too serious in Scripture. I've read lots of commentaries on trying to figure out what Jesus was referring to when he talked about it's easier for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And all sorts of archaeologists have said, well, there's this one gate that was referred to as the eye of the needle, as if Jesus had to be giving a real illustration. What if he was just being ridiculous? What if he was just being absurd? What if he was just making a point? It's easier for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of this the needle that I used to watch my mom sew with. You can almost hear the difference and the disciples laughing and saying, yeah, that's true. That's difficult. That's hard. It's impossible. What if when Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus in the tree and said, what are you doing up there? We heard him saying something like, what the heck are you doing in a tree? Who climbs a tree? Come down. Come on, get out of there. Let's go talk for a little bit. I think by often making Jesus so serious, or as serious as we do, I think sometimes it makes following his commands, the way we hear his commands, more of a burden instead of a joy. That picture was originally titled Christ the Liberator. Have you ever experienced the freedom of laughter? Anybody ever said, man, I really just need a good laugh? Why? Because we need to be set free, to be let loose from all the things that are troubling us, that are worrying us. What would happen if in church we could really just let loose and laugh? Not at my stupid jokes, although I do appreciate the laughter you folks have provided. But what if we could find a way to just really let loose and laugh? What's the old idiom? To let our hair down. That doesn't apply to me. Thanks. See, there you go again. Thank you so much. What would happen if this was our image of Jesus, and this is the Jesus we had in our minds as we worked and as we served, and as we tried to obey, and as we tried to be more like him in our lives? What would happen if that was the case? I also think sometimes our seriousness in church is related to the pressure we are under in this world to perform, to produce, to compete. And that kind of pressure carries over into the church. right? We feel like we have to do for Jesus. We have to go for Jesus. We have to constantly be engaged in accomplishing something for Jesus. Reverend Cynthia Rigby, in her book Beautiful Playing, writes, "We live in a time and culture in which even people of faith believe there is no other way than to live lives full of stress that emphasize above all the importance of work." A theologian, Jürgen Moltmann, back in the late 60s and early 70s, spoke about this idea. He wrote about a theology of play. And he noted in there that the drive to produce, the drive to succeed, the drive to accomplish something affected even our vacations, our play, our leisure time. Because our leisure time just came to mimic work. Anybody ever needed a vacation from a vacation? Absolutely. And not only did our play and leisure time, in Moltmann's estimation, mimic work, but it became subservient to our work. Why do we take a break? Why do we go on vacation? So we can work harder and produce more. We're stuck in this cycle where our value is tied up in what we can produce and what we can perform. And that's even true in our faith, right? We value those who do the most. The district used to have a laity banquet, and we always celebrated not the person that just knew how to enjoy life and sit back and relax in Jesus, right? No. We celebrated the people in the church that did the most. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I hope you can see what we're getting at is this maybe unhealthy understanding of being too serious about Jesus, about being too serious about what we do. It's not that it's not serious business, but I often wonder if sometimes the tensions we have in the church, the frustrations, the burnout, the exhaustion that we experience in the church comes from maybe being too serious. What would happen in the church if we could just really play for play's sake? Is it even possible? Now, this is hard for us to imagine, isn't it? Just what are we doing? Oh, we're just going to go to the church tonight and play. Well, who's gonna bring the devotion? No, we're not doing a devotion. We're not going to pray. We're just going to come and play. We're just going to come and have fun. I mentioned, I think it was to Hal last week, has this church ever just gone to a Muck Dogs game? I love baseball. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Just doing things for play. And it's hard for us to even imagine that because we've been driven by serving Jesus, driven by making disciples, driven for so long at doing, that it's hard for us to imagine not doing. It's a part of our DNA to be serious about God's kingdom's work, to be driven to serve God. The Puritans, remember those folks, right? They're a part of our spiritual DNA in this country. They're the ones that brought the Christian faith to this land, right? Idle hands are what? The devil's workshop. John Wesley used to admonish his lay preachers to not trifle away time, to make sure they were always doing something profitable. It's not a part of our DNA to play, and yet it's somewhere in there. The Greater Catechism, which was used in some churches and still is for centuries and centuries to teach children the faith, says this: the chief aim of humankind is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. To enjoy being in relationship, to enjoy serving. Sometimes our desire to do can take away that enjoyment, and we serve out of exhaustion, not out of enthusiasm. Laughter and playing, not playing so we can work harder, but just playing for play's sake, can have liberating properties. I don't think maybe it's just the fact that young people are younger than us that we ever look at kids and say, I wish I had their energy. They play so naturally that it sets them free from the burdens that weigh us down, from the burdens that exhaust us, from the burdens that take away our energy. one of the corollaries of serving and going and doing, being driven in our faith, is that we can easily attach our value not only to the church but to God by what we've accomplished for God. Kirk Byron Jones, in his book Holy Play, had to pick that book up. I actually had Kirk come in and do I was in charge of a pastor's retreat, and I had Kirk come in and speak. In his book Holy Play, he writes, "When we play, we celebrate holy uselessness." Now there's an idea, right? Holy uselessness. Yara Robinson, actually a Jewish woman who attended Harvard Divinity School, talked about play relating to the idea of Sabbath. How the Sabbath was an opportunity for us to be set free from all the pressures of the week, from having to do things. It was about just being before God. It was about celebrating that we didn't have to be doing something to be acceptable to God. It's about being in relationship with God. And she related play from that to that idea. Because when we consciously choose to play and make a decision not to accomplish anything, we're basically saying to the world, no. That is not the way God wants us to live. That is not what God created us for. When we take time to have a Sabbath, it's not just about worship. It's about setting aside a day to say to the world, you no longer have control over me. Now, for most of us, that only lasts for one day, and some of us, we don't even find a way to make that day a reality. But that's the goal. That's what we're working towards. Joe Iovino, who works for the communications department at the Methodist Church in Nashville, talked about how the church he attended started to have just fun nights. No agenda, no anything. They would just gather as many people as they could get together and play. Go to an event, play board games, play silly games, just sit around and talk. Just do something with no agenda, with no purpose other than just to play. I came across the video, if you want to get ready to bring it up. What would happen if we could learn to be more like this in the church and in our faith? Some of you felt like doing that when you saw puddles this morning, right? Just so happy we had rain. And even eventually, the dough gets into it, right? She can't resist. Now, if we did that in the church, we'd get lots of looks. But what if we could find time to just play, to just celebrate, to just enjoy being who God has made us to be, being in relationship with God? Now, some of you may wonder, where is the text in all of this? I, at some point in my life, learned that it's not polite to answer a question that wasn't asked. So somebody needs to ask me, how does this relate to the text? Thank you. I'm not sure it does, no. But it relates because as I was preparing, and it goes back to the children's sermon, which was really the introduction to this sermon in many ways, Jesus more than once either called his disciples away to rest or went away himself to rest. And the translation I use, it said time, but the New Revised Standard Version said they had no leisure even to eat. They had no free time. It's not just about resting, it's about Jesus seeing their need for free time. And what did the disciples do in that free time? Now, as Methodists, we are sure they went away and had a committee meeting to work on vision and mission and what was going to happen in the fall, right? If not, we might envision them going away and praying. And Jesus did that sometimes. He went away in the garden to pray. He went up on a mountain to pray. But it doesn't say anything about that here. It just says they went away to rest because they had no free time. Jesus seeing the need for free time in the midst of this incredibly busy part of their ministry together. And I got thinking, what would it look like? Because how hard is it for us to imagine them going away and playing tag up in the mountain somewhere? Or maybe having a euchre tournament or whatever they might want to do to have fun. Because that's not, we don't read fun. We don't read play into Scripture. We really don't know what they did. But I thought it would be interesting. What if the disciples just went away and laughed? What if they just were trying to get away in that moment to play? And what if in our incredible desire to serve Jesus, we found time to do the same thing? To just get away and laugh, to just get away and play. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.